Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
Bewildered. What word could so generally describe the condition of people in our day? I believe it is this word, bewildered. The old and the young alike, the rich and the poor alike, the educated and ignorant alike, people are bewildered as they try to forget their past and peer as through a thick fog into the future. Modern advancements in knowledge and in science, instead of removing the bewilderment, have only increased it. People are bewildered as problems and perplexities encompass them. Some have seen the dearest institution of God for man's blessing, the home, crumble at their feet, and the dust of a broken home has been blown to the four winds, while others have a home that is so near broken, they look bewildered at what will happen when it does break. The cry of hearts is, oh, if I only knew how it would all end. Where can we find help for these bewildered people? They need security and certainty. They must know, and they can know. We turn them to God and to His Word, the Bible, that dear old book, God's Holy Word. But were people ever that way in the Bible? We shall see. Let us become fellow travelers with the people as they throng every road that goes into Jerusalem. We see a man, a unique man, a lovely man. His name is Jesus of Nazareth. He is leading his 12 disciples into the holy city. It was Passover week. He had told them that he was going to be seized by the Jews, condemned by their priests, and delivered to the Romans to be killed. Already they had seen the great crowds turn against him. Had you and I carefully scanned the faces of those 12 disciples, we could have seen our word bewildered, clearly written in their furrowed brows. Every move ahead of them seemed blocked. They were going to Jerusalem to eat the Passover, but look at the crowds. Where would there be room for them? And was not their master spotted and despised? Finally, the silence is broken by Peter as he asked the Lord where they were going to eat the Passover. He hadn't even an idea, for he couldn't imagine a home that would be open to them. The Lord Jesus told Peter and John to go ahead into the city, and as they entered the gate, a man would meet them with a pitcher of water on his head, follow after him, and he would go into a house. And they were to say to him these words, "The Master saith unto thee, where is the guest chamber where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?" And then Jesus told them he would show them a large room, an upper room, and it would all be furnished. You may say, who would know all that? You wouldn't, nor would I. But Jesus knew all that. Yes, the Lord Jesus knows all about you, and all about me too. Those two fishermen, Peter and John, walked on ahead. They passed through the city gate, and look, passing right in front of them is a man with a pitcher of water. This was an oddity, for the women carried the water in those days. Peter and John followed him, and he abruptly turns into a house, just like Jesus said. Before the door closes, Peter catches it, and in they go. The man of the house meets them and looks at them as much as to say, what do you want? Peter tells him Jesus' words. He smiles, for he had just finished preparing the room. Up the stairs he goes, just like Jesus said. And as he opens the door, they see a large room, and all furnished, just like Jesus said. Peter counts, 1, 2, 3, 4, 13 couches, just what were needed for Jesus and his 12 disciples. Now this is my text, Luke 22:13. And they went and found as Jesus had said unto them. Those bewildered disciples needed certainty, security, and they found it in Jesus. He knew the path ahead. He knew all they would meet in the way. They were no longer bewildered. The answer to their bewilderment and to yours too, neighbor, is found in Jesus. He is the answer. He knew all the way ahead for them and for us too. What is our future? You and I are on a journey. We are going across the land and then we will meet a shore and then we will embark on a great ocean. Now let me explain. The land is this life here on earth. The shore is death, and the ocean is eternity, the great forever. And remember, you and I never went this way before. People today are bewildered. like a person driving a car or a boat in a fog, fearfully wondering what the next second will bring. You need no longer be bewildered. There's one who knows the way you take. He came down from heaven. He made heaven and earth and hell, for all things were made by him. He knows all about the universe, and he came to reveal it to us, to show us what lies ahead. First, he described our journey in this life here on earth by saying, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again." And in all your life, you will find it as Jesus said. And you can go in for wealth, for pleasure, for sin, for fame. You can give yourself over to them with all the enthusiasm of your being. You may rise to the top, but at the end of it all, you will say, "Dull, dull, dull." You will moan like Solomon, "All is vanity and vexation of spirit." But did Jesus say anything about that terminal to which we are all pressing, death? People die, we watch them, and wonder what it's like to die. Yes, he did, and here's what he said. "If ye believe not that I am, ye shall die in your sins." You say, how horrible. Indeed it is horrible beyond description, for if you live your life without Christ, you will die in your sins. Your sins that you had long ago forgotten will come rushing to your memory. Your conscience will point its accusing finger at you and say, "You did it." You may have blamed your evil buddies or even the devil, but in the hour of death they will be your sins. Your sins, like a heavy load, will bear you down, sinking, sinking, with no foundation, no everlasting arms beneath you, and you will sink into the bottomless pit. Your sins, like a great cloud, will shroud you as you enter the blackness of darkness forever. Oh, the indescribable horrors of the death of the wicked! Ye shall die in your sins. And remember, you will find it as Jesus said. And now listen as our Lord Jesus, who alone could do so, rolls back the curtain and he shows us the other side of death, that great eternity. Hear his words, spoken to a man about to pass over the line into eternity. "Verily I say unto thee," for he knew there was no uncertainty, "verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Let's call back that once dying thief of Calvary to tell us all about it. I'm sure this is what he would tell. "Just after Jesus told me I would be with him in paradise that very hour, I saw those soldiers come with their big mallets and they smashed my legs. Oh, how it hurt. I groaned and then I passed out and I found myself in a beautiful place. And the first person I saw was Jesus. I was with Jesus in paradise." Yes. And everyone who loves the Lord Jesus Christ here, when they leave this earth, will find themselves with Christ in paradise, forever with the Lord Jesus whom they love. Now don't think that everybody goes to paradise. Preachers may preach everyone into heaven when they die, but the funeral sermon will not decide their destiny. Now listen to what the Lord Jesus said about people who do not repent of their sins. He told us of a man who was satisfied with himself and his way of life, and he would not repent. Where did he go? Our Lord answers, "In hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and he cried, 'I am tormented in this flame.' He begged for a drop of water, but even this was denied him, for there's no mercy in hellfire." What? A living man in a flaming fire? Preacher, do you say that? Folks, it isn't what I say. The Son of God said it. I don't know, you don't know, but he does know. That man went to hell because he would not repent, and every unrepentant man will go to that same hellfire, for Jesus said, "I tell you, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." And don't you forget it. You will find it as Jesus said. Yes, you will. Now here is something Jesus said that's important to us right today. He said, "I will come again," and he told us all to be ready. Some resent it and say, "I don't believe it." Now let's be sensible. Jesus is coming again whether we believe it or not, whether we are ready or unprepared. We're all going to find it as he said. Jesus is coming and we better be ready. In eternity which is just ahead for each of us, I will meet you. Whether you've taken the devil's highway of sin that leads to hellfire or the narrow road of life that goes to heaven, I will ask you, did you find it as Jesus said? You will answer, "Preacher, you told us the truth. And we found everything in life and death and in eternity exactly as Jesus said." Neighbor, go to your Bible and see for yourself what Jesus said. Bank on that, folks, for everything will happen just as Jesus said. As we go along life's pathway, let us remember, and they went and found as Jesus had said unto them, and so will we. And remember, this is your only time to prepare for your meeting with death, to prepare for Jesus to come again, to prepare for that long eternity that lies ahead for you and me. There's only one way to be prepared. It is to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, as you in repentance cry to God for His mercy. This is the way you can become a real Bible Christian, one who belongs to Christ. When you so receive Him, He will receive you as one of His own, and you can say, I am my Lord's and He is mine. And then, when you leave here and embark into eternity, whether at death or at Jesus coming again, for you it will be to depart to be with Christ in paradise. For 66 years my bewildered soul has found its anchor, its security, its certainty in Christ Jesus my Lord. And it won't be long now that this old veteran will leave this old world and go to heaven to be forever with my beloved Lord Jesus Christ. Neighbor, meet me there. This is another message of the Holy Spirit of God to you through His bondservant, David Brinkman.